tough call.
Yeah, dude, if she's responsible for multiple deaths, you could punch a lady in the face.
I don't know. We'd have to talk to Sean Connery. Yeah. Welcome to DL Gaming. I'm Bobby.
I'm Minnie.
Oh, hey. What's up, Minnie? And I was shocked that you jumped the gun. I forgot you were there, honestly. I forgot
you were going to be out for this.
Well, you're not physically here. You're remote. But because you have great audio equipment over there, you sound fantastic. Better than we do here in studio.
Mm-hmm. Almost.
Dude, Bobby's over here celebrating the fact that he can wear green now.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the green screen set up anymore. I decided to wear an orange shirt on a red background, and it looks like I'm invisible. It's just like a talking head here.
Doesn't stand out too much.
No, it doesn't.
Orange, dude, festive, Halloween.
Didn't we say we're going to rip these fucking covers off? Should we?
Yeah, we did say that.
Should we do it right now?
We could. Man. I mean, I don't know.
Yes! I bet they're highly flammable. If we just lit it, it would just, the whole thing, not the couch, it would just burn to a crisp. This shit was made in China out of like.
Yeah, it's probably not a safe material.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving to all our Canadian listeners there. I was told it was Canadian Thanksgiving.
Their Canadian land Thanksgiving is so not real. It's not, dude. That has nothing to do with pilgrims or Indians or anything.
Do they eat the same food, or how does that work? What do they do?
Yes, I'm told that they do eat turkey. Although we were talking about when I was a kid, I remember Thanksgiving. We'd always learn about the pilgrims and the Native Americans, and you know, of course, it was very, very whitewashed. Like, you know, the pilgrims came over.
No,
they met the Native Americans, and they really hit it off. They had a nice dinner, and then everything after that was smooth sailing. Happily ever after.
It's so funny, dude. We were discussing the whole thing before the show, and Sniper said something, and I was like, no, that's not how it went down. Aren't we celebrating when they started to get along? I almost reiterated all the brainwashing, dude, and then I was like, oh, yeah, it was genocide instead. Yeah. We're celebrating genocide, I guess.
Double kill.
Yeah. Fucking quadra kill.
You know what? I forgot, since we've got Minnie joining us remotely, we've had a little bit of an issue with an echo coming through for the live show, and I forgot to test that out. So if you're in chat, are you hearing an echo there? Minnie, why don't you say something?
Is it the echo coming from my voice, or is it when you guys are talking like out of my headphones and into the microphone? I don't know where that echo is coming from.
They would be hearing an echo on you while you're talking.
Oh, okay.
We had it cleared up. We had it cleared up last week, but I don't know if that's happening again. Well, until you tell us it's a problem, I guess we'll just keep going.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't have a whole lot to talk about this week because I was super busy taking. I've been kind of off the grid this week, so I apologize to everyone about that. I have not been active in Discord. But,
I wouldn't be able to tell, dude, because I text you and call you all week long, every week, and you never get back to me, so I wouldn't be able to tell.
Yeah, I'm typically like that, but this week was a little extra because I was knee-deep in some schoolwork, but I'm glad to say that I've finished some projects, and I'm in one of those rare moments in my life where I don't have a whole lot on my plate. We'll see how long that lasts.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Minnie, what's going on with you, man? You're still over in Texas, yeah?
Yep, still in South Texas, man. Still trying to get out of this place when I can. My girl's she just became a nurse, so we can finally start looking for a job out of this place.
Like an RN?
Yes.
You're going to be interesting, man.
That's like the next step here.
If you want to be the total moochie boyfriend, she could be a traveling nurse, and you could be like a traveling like Twitch streamer.
We've already discussed that, and that is an option.
It is. Nice, man. Cool. Because they make a little bit more when they travel, right?
Oh, they make crazy money, dude. Like, easy, $100,000.
Yeah. I dated one. She was 6'2", dude. It's so strange for me to date somebody that was taller than me. And she had a Great Dane. And it was just like the land of giants when I went over to her fucking place. But yeah, they just fucking travel from city to city and fuck everybody, or like a new guy. There's a new boyfriend per. But now she's dragging you along, you know. She'll have you there, so she's going to have to look around. That's going to save tons of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's worth supporting you so that she doesn't have to go on the hunt for new dick.
All right. I'm going to switch the audio inputs here, and then hopefully we can fix a little bit of an echo that we're getting. Do-do-do. All right. And then we're coming back here. All right. Minnie, can you hear us? Can you say something?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. And hopefully chat can, too. I don't know if that's improved anything. But
it would have been great if we did this before the show. But wait,
yeah. Well, it's exciting. People love that behind the scenes. Yeah. I'm told it's still happening. But
is that going to go on the recording?
No, the recording's always fine.
Oh, fuck the 15 people watching right now, man. Although they might want to stick around.
A lot less.
There might be a surprise coming up. Should we talk about it?
I don't know. Well, not on this show, right?
Well, I don't know.
This episode.
If we get the right amount of donations, who knows what magic could happen.
Well, let's bring up this here. This is One Chip Challenge, Carolina Reaper.
Oh, shit.
Something that Emilio has ordered online.
Yeah, I didn't know about this. The company's Pocky. They make all those crazy chips. But yeah, it's one chip for basically $20 with shipping and handling. One chip each. I would have thought it was bullshit because, I'm pretty good with spice. Like I can eat habanero sauce pretty good. But I watched, and who knows if it was promotional. I doubt it, though. I was watching Hot Ones, and they did it on there. And, Sean had a really hard time with it. And, he said it might have been harder than the show. Just one chip, So I was like, shit, that'd be great content for the show. Plus, I want to see Bobby suffer. So, yeah. And it was funny. I was like, Bobby, what do you think about the one chip challenge? And he's like, oh, I can't do super hot stuff. Yeah, dude, nobody can. That's the whole point, man.
I don't know. I don't eat a lot of hot, spicy stuff regularly. I do try it every now and then, but it's not a regular thing for me.
I'm trying to tolerate it more, trying to build up my tolerance to that. Ever since the last podcast I was officially on, when we were eating those salsas, or what was it? It was salsas, right? The hot sauces.
Yeah, it was hot sauces.
Yeah, those. And I feel like I've gained a lot of tolerance in that time. Like I'm trying to find the hottest salsas I can.
You should over in Texas, man.
Yeah, and yeah, they get them crazy hot here. So I want to do this Pocky challenge.
Dude, so there's the great, I've heard about the Great Migration. I don't know how great it is, but tons of Californians are moving to Texas.
Mostly Austin, yeah.
Yeah, mostly
Austin.
That
was my goal.
Yeah, you want to go to Austin, but you're in buttfuck Texas? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
What's wrong with it? Tell me what's wrong with it. Lay it on me, dude.
The population is about 400,000, so it's like a small, medium-sized city. The humidity is just insane here. It's right by the Gulf, and I'm always having to deal with hurricane warnings, and there's a lot of poverty in this place.
Yeah.
It's very rampant in here. The infrastructure is bad, because they built this city on basically sand. All the roads are just complete trash. So it really sucks on a motorcycle. I haven't ridden my motorcycle in almost a year, I think.
For one half second, I thought you were going to say they built the city on rock and roll. And you took that shitty turn, man. No.
I'm sorry. Should have taken that turn.
Yeah, well, no. Get the fuck out of there, dude. That sounds awful.
Yeah, we will soon.
Good. Good. Get it done.
All right. Well, let's talk about some video games here. Now, I only had a chance to play one video game this week, but it was from the Xbox Game Pass, which I have for 3 months now.
Also. Oh, yeah. So, really quickly, I sent them 3 months from my Discord Nitro account. Minnie, do you still have that?
Yes.
Yeah. So I never click on their promotions. I don't know what it was. I just happened to click on it. It was the first one maybe ever that I clicked on it. And it was, 3 months free of Game Pass. So I sent it to Bobby. So I didn't know that I was going to be able to transverse it to another account too. So
yeah, it's just a code.
It's just a code. So if you have one, everybody out there that has Nitro, send it out to a poor friend.
A poor friend who can't afford Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah, if you're a poor friend, hit me up. I still have that code somewhere, I believe.
All right. Well, the game that I played was World of Horror. Now, this game I wanted to play a long time ago when it first came out. It caught my eye. It's got a very unique style. First of all, it's all what they call one-bit graphics. It's two colors. That's it. And it sounds like it'd be difficult to do horror with that, but hey, they pull it off. You can change the colors. It starts out just like plain black and white, but you can choose different color palettes, have it be like, you know, a red and a gray, or I'm using like a light blue and a gray right now. And what I've noticed is that when I stare at the screen for a long period of time with this light blue gray, and then I look away, it's one of those optical illusions. Like everything else looks to be a slightly different color. So it's really weird when I look up at like my second monitor while playing this game.
I thought you were going to say, like, once you look away from this game, life looks like a terrible game, too.
Not quite. But, I mean, yeah, the graphics, like, they don't seem like they would be that great, but they really accomplish quite a bit. So this is using an art style that's supposed to be similar to this famous Japanese manga artist who did a lot of horror stuff. His name was I can't remember. Maybe we could look that up. But it looks a lot like his stuff when I looked it up. It is like surprisingly kind of gory and shocking. And the gameplay is actually pretty good too. It's kind of a visual novel adventure game where you have to, you live in this seaside town in Japan and you go to these different areas to solve these mysteries surrounding horror and, you know, these strange happenings. And it's very Lovecraftian. There's like an old god that's rising up and, you know, a lot of body horror and you know, that existential horror. And you're going through these areas, solving these mysteries, making decisions. There's a combat system that, I don't know, it's kind of the weaker side of this game, but it still kind of works. Like you run into an enemy and you can combat them either with physical attacks or like spiritual attacks. And
turn-based, I'm guessing.
It's not quite turn-based. You queue up your commands. I guess it is turn-based. You queue up all your commands. Like you have a bar and you can fill that with various actions. So you choose all the different actions you want to do and you hit launch sequence and then it does all that stuff.
And the enemy goes at the same time
yeah, as well.
Sounds like some of the Final Fantasies.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, you make decisions and different things happen, and you know, they have like one game, a tutorial, and then like another full game mode, which I played quite a bit of. But they also have like a randomization thing where you can just mix everything up. It took me a little bit to get into this game. At first, when I first played the tutorial, I was like, yeah, I kind of see what they're doing here, but how is this overwhelmingly positive on Steam? Like, this is like really high.
It's really high.
Yeah.
But 97%.
Then I played the actual game, not just the tutorial. And I was like, okay, I kind of see there's a lot of decisions to be made here. There's inventory, there's resource management. And, you know, some of the stuff is kind of scary. Like there's a few, like,
it is creepy for sure.
Yeah. The graphics are just kind of jarring. And there are a few little like jump scares, but some of it, like there's a part where you just like slide open a door. You have to click and drag to slide open a door and this giant hideous face just looks right at you, like peeking out from behind it. And it's very disturbing. A lot of it is very, very, what was the name of that scary thing that everybody was talking about maybe about 2 years ago? Momo?
Oh, the Momo challenge. I hate even looking at that.
Yeah.
That photo, man.
Because
I'm not aware of that. What is that?
Was that what it was? Yeah, Momo.
Yeah.
Man,
I don't like looking at it at all.
It's a little too real, man. But the thing that makes that so scary, I mean, is the eyes mostly. And there's no eyelids. It's very exaggerated features. Dude. Yeah, that's a nightmare right there.
The thing that, it was also like, it was linked to like self-harm. So like kids were like cutting themselves. It was some sort of based.
Yeah.
That was the whole meme going on. So it got banned from a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is from a famous sculptor in Japan.
So it looks like something out of Beetlejuice. But yeah, that's what this game reminds me of, because all the characters, they have those very wide eyes, and there's something very unnerving about wide eyes, man. Like if you want to freak somebody out, just like look at them with the wide eyes.
They got the crazy eye.
Was it the crazy eye or the lazy eye? I think it was the lazy eye.
The lazy eye.
Is that from Fievel?
Fievel Goes West.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh my God, dude. Digging up some
memories,
artifacts there.
Like, look at that, dude. You know, when Bobby was saying one bit, you're gonna feel like no way it looks good, but you're looking at art for the most part. I mean, even the text is just kind of, it almost looks like it's handwritten. Everything's seems like there was emotion and motivation behind everything. Mm-hmm. Nothing's just made for, I guess when you're dealing with just single shots, you got to make every shot count. There's not a whole lot of animation.
What's interesting is when you're doing this one bit style where there's just two colors.
Yeah.
A lot of times colors are used to draw attention, to draw your focus to something. Like if you see like something pop up in red over here, like, you know, the color is information. So you don't have any of that here. So when you first look at it, it does look very flat. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to like determine, okay, where should I be looking for this? Or I see
exactly,
this.
Exactly, dude. My eyes are bouncing around looking for what I should be looking for.
Yeah. It's like confusing my eyeballs. Yeah. So like I had a little trouble getting into that for that purpose. It was a little difficult, but eventually when I got into this game, I think when I got about an hour into it, it kind of started to click for me and I saw why this game was so good. It's still in early access though, and I'm not quite sure what they want to add to it before they release the 1.0, but it very much seems like a full game.
This is how life looks to me, dude, because I don't see color, man.
It's just colorblind.
What do you think? Mini, is this a must-buy?
I couldn't. I'm not going to play this game. This game would freak me out, dude. I already have fucking fucked up dreams, and this would just take me over the edge.
Well, I could go right into Phasmophobia off of that, but I would have really liked to lead with Baldur's Gate 3, probably the biggest release this month, but Bobby jumped ahead with, what is this called? World of Horror. You got to get like the word out show about something like this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing about this game is it's free on the Xbox Game Pass. You can buy it on Steam for, I think, $15, $17.50 Canadian. But it's a unique horror game, and horror games I think we're kind of coming out of this now, but for the most part, horror games have just devolved into run and hide games and jump scares.
I feel like we're getting away from that.
Yeah. I mean, for the longest time, I mean, originally horror games were a lot of, you know, first person shooters just with scary monsters, you know, and then we kind of got into like this whole thing with like the Five Nights at Freddy's jump scare, and then we got the run and hide.
But look at the success. Games.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's fine. I'm not saying these are bad. Like they had their moment, but we're moving on from that. So I'm excited to see new games like World of Horror that are doing something different. You know, it's a visual novel, but they do a lot of interesting things here and it's very interactive. And then also Phasmophobia, which is doing something very different.
Dude. So I had a few rounds of it. I played with Nick, which, you know, I talk about this every once in a while. So you go into a multiplayer game, right? And you have people that aren't as skilled. I'm talking about myself because I'm so compromised by my fear, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people will be like upset that they have such a weight to carry, because this person's obviously not very good. But dude, think about if you were doing this in real life, right? You'd have the guy shitting his pants, the guy who gets eaten by the T-Rex on the shitter. Mm-hmm. You have those guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like. So Nick was just carrying us through. He's been through down this hallway a bunch of times, but I don't think
afraid of no ghosts.
I don't think he did a very good job. Well, I didn't understand what it was, so I'm going to give my try because it's so novel. You're a team of investigators going into a house to try to decipher what type of ghost you're dealing with. Right?
Did you play this on VR or not?
So it has cross platform and. JP Diddy was on VR, and it was seamless with us. He was, except for he was able, obviously his character was like able to move his arms, and ours just has static positions based on what we're holding, right? So he was over jacking us off and like fucking grabbing our tits while while we were getting ready. But once it was game on, it was game on, and we were all using our cameras. So that you could see how scared everybody is. And John had a camera of his entire body. And what I saw was the body language of a very scared individual. Like he was super scared throughout the whole thing. I didn't think it was as scary as that Nick set it out to be, because again, you're out with a bunch of you're playing multiplayer, mm-hmm. and for me, it definitely took it down a notch. But this is an entirely new thing. So you're going in, you're an investigator, you're almost like a detective. There's certain categories that every kind of ghost falls into. And then, so there's three clues, let's say, and you put down notes for each one. So what's it look like? What's it sound like? What's it doing? Right. And there's these different things, but there's only, if you list those correctly, there's only one outcome that it could be. Oh, it's mm-hmm. obviously a demon. Right. Yeah. If it looks like this, sounds like this, and does this, then you know it's a demon. Mm-hmm. But the way you find that out is fucking risking yourself by mm-hmm. going through the house and doing different things. And he's 100% right. You cannot play this on Discord. Because two things. One, it uses Windows voice recognition, like the program, within itself, so that it knows what you're saying to each other on the radio. Do you know, does that register? Yeah.
Based on what I've watched, because I have watched Nick stream some of this, so yeah. That's kind of what I picked up, like they can listen into your communication.
Right. So, and it's picking up certain things. So at a certain point, like if you say, oh, I think his name is, because it's on a piece of paper, mm-hmm. oh, his name is John Robertson. John Robertson's going to fucking perk up and hunt you down because you said his name. Mm-hmm. And that's fucking weird. And
that's creepy right there, dude. That just gave me the chills.
Yeah. And but how are you going to tell your friends what his name is if you can't say it, right? But at a certain point, you need him to come out so that you can take a picture of him so you can make him do certain things, right? So you have like a mini seance. We had like a mini seance in the bathroom with all our flashlights flashing everywhere. And we had to get him to turn the water into like muck. And so we're like, we have to repeat his name, John Robertson. And he came out, and then Nick was like, John, if you can hear us, we need you to turn the water black. And he turned the water black. We took a picture of it. We took a picture of him. And then I got choked out and killed. I don't know why. Like, it seems very random. And then we were able to fill out what kind of monster it was, and they won. I lost. And that's how it went. And then we did it again and again.
Now, is it always monsters, or does it ever turn out to be like the owner of the old mill in a ghost disguise who would have gotten away with it?
Not once was it a fake ghost. They're all real ghosts, and they're creepy, man. Like,
I feel like there's a missed opportunity here. This could have been the Scooby-Doo Detective Agency game.
That would be great.
Yeah.
So the graphics aren't great. Your flashlights suck.
Yeah, they look very early access.
Yeah.
Graphics.
I don't think they're going to get very
And it's not even just the graphics, but the way the characters move is just very, you know, robotic. Great animations.
But great ideas. I really hope they take all the money from this, they come out with a part two, and they just, you know, kill it. Mm-hmm. Everything, you know, it was kind of hard getting everything going, because you got to make sure that everybody's punched into their Windows voice recognition software. You got to make sure everything's okay, and then mute yourself on Discord, which is also really weird. But it's a great game. A lot of good, great ideas. I'm a big fan.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can imagine this game being a lot more scary in VR. When I was watching the stream, I was like, you know, this game, it's not that scary, because you're with your buddies, you're talking, you're communicating, and, you know, that's takes away a lot of the fear. But in VR, even things that are not supposed to be scary are scary in VR. It's because all these characters, it looks like they're standing right in front of you. It could just be a normal guy, like when I was playing that boxing game, but they got that dead look in their eye, and they're looking right at you, not blinking. And that's very unnerving.
The in-game voice also, so there's two ways to talk, right? So there's the local, which is not very local at all. Once they're around 6 or 7 feet, it starts to wane very quickly. So you can tell when somebody's walking away from you. And twice it happened to me where somebody is like, oh, because you're talking back and forth nonstop, right? Mm-hmm. Almost nervously, so that like you know that somebody else is there. You're just talking back and forth. And then you hear the voice trail and you turn around and nobody's there because they went into the next room. It's fucking unnerving, dude. Like, where'd he go? Like, where's my buddy?
Is just creeping me out. Like, when you were saying, like, his name, when you're calling out John, like, I looked around my room, like, what the fuck? Don't call him a ghost around me, dude.
The names are pretty ridiculous in this game, too. I mean, they're all very, like, bland, like, plain names.
They're all white people, I could tell.
Yeah. There's no, like, Julio Garcia. it's all, like John
Incredible
Johnson.
Incredible Gardner ghost.
Robert Robertson.
Yeah. But then you have your radios, and you can talk to your radios, but your radios can be disrupted by electromagnetic fields and shit. So nobody's safe, man. Mm-hmm. Nobody's safe.
I really like how they do the communication in-game, and it seems like they add kind of a staticky effect to it, like a shortwave radio.
Yep. And then one person could be inside you have like a Ghostbuster van, and that person could be monitoring all kinds of shit, like threat levels and like kind of like running the show. So Nick did a really good thing, and he was kind of like, bringing us on, helping us out by throw him in the pool and let him swim, you know, kind of thing. So he's like, I'm going to stay in the van. You guys go bust a ghost.
Nice.
And that's how you really learn, right? I think we failed that one.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're all playing scary games, dude. We're getting into the season.
Are you going to pick this up, Bobby? Or are you going to try it out?
I don't know, man. Oh, I got the Xbox Game Pass. So I installed World of Horror. I played that this week. I really want to beat that game. I may play it a little bit more, depending on how much time I have this coming week. But I also want to... I installed Pathologic 2, which is a game that I've been meaning to play for quite some time. That's on the Xbox Game Pass. I was very excited to see it there. So that's probably what I'm going to be checking out. But yeah, dude, I'm doing it. And then maybe the Blair Witch game. Like, I'm getting into the spook zone.
Now, do they have like a spooky suite on there? Like,
they didn't. You know, and let me talk a little bit about Xbox Game Pass in general. They've changed their UI a little bit since the last time I've used it, and it's a lot better. Like, first of all, my original complaint was that the Xbox Game Pass didn't have a library, didn't have a place where I could just go, just list all the games that are available.
Do they now?
They do now.
Because I can't figure it out, dude. If you tell me, if I were to walk over to my computer right now and play, you said load up a Xbox Game Pass game, I cannot do it right away. Like, it's going to take me 2 minutes to figure out how to find that game.
Well, here's the other thing that I like about this. You don't need to load up the Xbox Game Pass app and then launch your game. You can just hit the Windows key and do a search, you know, start typing World of Horror, click, you know, enter, boom.
Right.
We're right into the game.
Sure.
So it's like, imagine if Steam were integrated with Windows.
But how are you launching
the Xbox app? Yeah. The Xbox app. Yeah, it's not called Xbox Game Pass. It's the actual Xbox app.
Yeah, right. You go in there, and then what do you click on?
Well, then I think it just goes straight to, like, you know, it's got some tabs up top you can go through, but I believe
there's... I just always have an issue, man.
I don't know. It seemed a lot better to me. I mean, they did still have, like, here are the featured games and, like, surprise me, you know, like, you click a button, it picks a random game for you. Like, I don't like any of that stuff, you know, because I feel like I want to just see what's available and just, like, read the titles real quick, and then I can make a decision there. It does do categories, like, do you want to play a first-person shooter? We'll click here, and we'll show you all those ones. But there was one that just said, show all the games, and there was.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So I feel like it has gotten better, and I do like that idea of just loading the game up, man. You know, just hitting Windows, World of Horror, boom, enter, I'm in.
Right.
So, yeah.
But I have not been able to make, like, an Xbox Game Pass app, like, icon.
Like a desktop shortcut?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just the Xbox app. You should be able to.
All right.
That's weird.
I'm also retarded sometimes.
But, yeah, so I'm enjoying that. Got another few months of it. Definitely going to be going through the library on there. And they got the newer games, too, which is always nice. A lot of times you do these subscription services and you kind of get, you know, the EA one, they'd give you, like, some good ones, but it was a lot of old junk, too.
Manny, the genesis for you being on here is you're like, hey, man, can I come on and talk about Baldur's Gate? And I picked it up. Not only did I pick it up, I sent a copy to JP Diddy as well. He does so much nice. He sends me all kinds of stuff and the mail and stuff. He's a super nice guy. So I definitely owed him something. So I sent him one. So we played a little bit. Very quickly on that, It's in early access. He's having a hell of a time. Like, he's having drop frames. He can't fix it. Like, he's tried everything. He's fucking with the graphic settings. He's doing the DirectX 11. He's also going with the whatever, Valkyrie or something. Whatever the other option is.
That's the other option.
And, he just can't. He can't fix it. And we've looked and we've looked and we can't find an option thing for it. So it is early access. But for the most part, for me, pretty much bug free. I haven't had any bugs.
Oh, really?
You are trying to break the game. Yeah.
Yes, I've been actively trying to like just go out of bounds or just do anything I can to try to confuse the game or something. And yeah, I've seen a lot of crashes. Help
Larian out?
Well, no, because they don't really have a good bug reporting system. It's like only if the game crashes, then you can explain why it crashed. But you can't really report anything like other than going to a separate website. Like you can't just click a button that says report bug.
It's really strange that more games haven't adopted. I don't know what game it was, Bobby, but remember every time you finish a sentence, a segment?
Yeah, what was that game?
I don't know.
It was that new 4X game that's coming out. Humankind?
Yeah.
I think it was Humankind. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's a small survey about the gaming like session.
Before and after. They really walked you through it. They had a great system for doing that.
But anyway, so you. Are you enjoying doing it? Like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, I just enjoy to see like how the engine is operating differently from original Sin games.
It's so similar, man. I feel
they put like a kind of like verticality in the game. Like, I'm sure you've been using the jump mechanic, right?
Yeah, the jump mechanic,
very awkward.
Yeah, it doesn't work the way it should. I feel like
you can actually jump on top of things.
Yes.
And jump over things, yeah.
Yeah, and jump over things. So it's weird because, like, I use, like, when I'm sneaking around, but the problem with that is, like, one character, you like, get that character, you separate them from the party, you use the jump button, then you tell them you want to jump from here to here, and then you got to switch to another party member and do that. Like, they don't just follow you. So it'd be a lot easier. It takes, seriously, like, a full minute just to get four characters across, like, a ravine or something.
Right.
So they need to like have like a better follow mechanic on that, I think.
But if it's real D&D, each one of them would have to do their own saving rolls, right?
Yeah, but I don't think jumping is anything that requires effort. I think it's just based on your strength is how far you can jump and you're going to succeed no matter what.
So far.
I mean, I haven't seen any rolls for
like,
a jump.
Like it should just do automatic rolls and then maybe one would fail, right?
If they are going to do that, but yeah, I don't think they're doing any saving throws for jumping.
Yeah. So what we're talking about saving throws and all that stuff, it's, so I thought it was going to be a lot more closer to D&D, but it's a lot closer to Divinity with like a D&D skin on top of it. Would you agree with that?
Yes, completely.
Yeah. And that's not a bad thing. Like not very often, but it does come up where you roll a die. And you see the target, what you need to beat, and you either beat it or you don't. And you have those 2-3 seconds of like, ooh, come on, baby, you know?
Yeah.
Especially
really like that.
I really like it. And it's not overused, and it's just the right amount, I feel like. I'm just going to come out and say it. I think I really enjoy this game, and I definitely think it has the potential to be better than Divinity. At the end, you know, once it's completely out, would you
agree? Yeah, if you're comparing it to other Divinity games, I do think it definitely can be better than the other Divinities, which is saying a lot because those games are amazing.
Yeah,
but I don't feel like I can call this a Baldur's Gate game because it doesn't feel like Baldur's Gate.
No, you know more about that than I do because again, I haven't played one or two. I'm just coming to this from like playing actual D&D.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was the old Baldur's Gate. Like they run on a very ancient Dungeon Dragon system. I think it's advanced D&D. I think those the rule set they use. So it's really old. But the game just played completely differently. I mean, obviously, it's like a 25-year-old game at this point.
Is it worth playing?
But yes, if you can play slowly, because the game is a very slow game. And yeah, very punishing.
Remastered edition or enhanced edition? Okay.
Yeah.
I think they come out with a new version.
Yeah, so this I don't feel like this is a good Baldur's Gate game, but it is a great RPG. Yes. If you're looking for a good Baldur's Gate game, go with Pillars of Eternity. I feel like that's what Baldur's Gate would have evolved into.
Now, I had a little bit of trouble getting into the multiplayer, but it was just a small. These are the details you work out in early access. JP Diddy hadn't selected one of his spells, and we could not get into the game. And we tried over and over, and we tried three times, and we remade our guys three times. And then eventually he's like, oh, maybe it's this. Maybe I just didn't select my third spell, because he's going with a wizard. And that's all it was. But, you know, in early access, you don't get warnings like, hey, you didn't do this. It just doesn't work. You know what I mean? And that's what we're here for. We're doing early access for bugs like that.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in, like, the early access experience of this game, because I feel like there's, well, I don't know. I can't remember at what point I jumped in on Divinity and Divinity 2. I feel like it was a little later into it. Divinity 2. Okay. So I jumped in like after early access, but before the enhanced edition. And still that was a good experience, but it was still a little wonky. And then I don't know, this is just going to be such a work in progress that I feel okay jumping into it at a later point, and especially given the fact that I have not beaten Divinity 2 yet.
I will say that this is more polished than the standard edition of Divinity, not the enhanced edition.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, this is, yeah, it's further along. If they would have said it was a full release, they'd be getting a lot more thumbs down for sure. Yeah. But it wouldn't be catastrophic. Like, other games have done way worse than release a game like this. It completely works. 100% of it works for me right now. When I say it's not as D&D as I thought, I really thought, I didn't know how they were going to do this mechanically, but I really thought you could do anything. I thought you could, like, flip Kip off a wall, or, you know, like, try to climb a random wall to get to the top. And there's none of that. It's Divinity, basically. But now the abilities...
Divinity does give you a lot more freedom than most games, though.
Yeah, and I want to say that this takes it a bit further within the rules of D&D. I'm a big fan, man. The voice acting. Could you imagine Divinity 2 being better? Like, and that's what this is, Bobby. Basically, not yet, but it will be.
Yeah.
Once they iron out.
And at this point, as much Divinity 2 as I've played, I'm ready for just new content.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, I want to finish Divinity 2, but I don't think I ever want to play through Fort Joy again. I think I'm done with that place.
Hey, Minnie, you've played more than me. Is there like a Fort Joy? I feel like it's linear, more linear.
No, once you get to a point, like, there is more splits. Like, I haven't gotten too much farther than you, but there are, I know I've been to like a bigger, I don't want to call it a town, but it's basically the size of Fort Joy if you were to cut out the whole castle part.
Right.
Okay. Part.
We killed every motherfucker in there, dude. Every motherfucker. No, not one motherfucker survived.
No survivors.
This game starts off very similar to Original Sin 2.
Yeah.
And Original Sin 1 in a way. Like, they like to start people on beaches.
Yeah. It did. But, well, the prologue,
it's
I would
a shipwreck.
Say, the prologue feels like a fucking the end of a epic quest, like the fucking dragons and fucking,
yeah,
dude, the prologue was epic as shit, and then you're on the fucking beach level one again. And not saying anything bad, like I haven't seen any bad choices. I'm a big fan. I don't know what the answer is, whether or not you should play the early access. I'm not having any issues. I'm probably going to keep on going. Most likely.
Well, I've encountered issues when I'm not trying to break the game, and there's like a lot of frame rate issues. I've seen some ragdoll physics go insane where they get all like super stretched out, that kind of thing. I've had some game crashes where I'm just like my whole party gets wiped for no reason, and I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, that's game breaking, dude. That's not good.
Yeah, definitely. So, I would say unless you're like a diehard fan, don't play this yet.
But what's, I really like what you said. Basically, if you're a huge Divinity fan, go for it. But like me coming from the perspective of wanting more D&D content, it's like a thin veneer of D&D.
Yeah. No, it definitely has like a lot of shadows of Dungeons and Dragons in here.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't. Not that it's not present. Like, you have the dice rolls, you have your main action, and then you have a bonus action, and they all make sense. Like, try to pick something up, push it, like all the bonus actions. Some abilities are in the inventory. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I can't figure that out. Like, the mage's spells are part of his inventory, and
yeah.
I haven't been able to, like, I don't know what's a spell or what's a scroll.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think that's just placeholders for now.
Yeah, I believe so as well.
Anyway,
they've always changed the UI.
Two thumbs up over here.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that as time goes on. You know, like Divinity 2 brought that up for years. Still bringing it up.
Yeah. Minnie, what have you been playing? Other than obviously currently, but like since you left the podcast, what are you filling your time with?
I mean, I've already talked about it. It's all been Dragon Ball FighterZ. I've also been filling my time up with a lot of Heroes of the Storm. And I play that game when I got like nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, and yeah, I see your Discord playing it.
I've never felt this about a game. Like, I'm okay at being bad. Like, I don't give a shit about this game. So I just play quick play. And I'm like, yeah, I just suck. I'm just going to stay in quick play. Like, I don't want to be forced to play a tank or anything. I just want to play my small roster of like five characters I know, and that's it.
I got to a place like that in Smite, dude, where like I was saying that the losses felt so much worse than the wins that it wasn't worth the time anymore. So then I was just playing ARAM nonstop, which is all random, all mid. And then you could, you know, you're playing characters you never played before, and you could just blame it on that, or you could play it. You could blame it on your team composition. For me, ARAM's fun though.
ARAM's always a team fight.
Yeah,
it's 100% team fight all the time. You know, yep. And that's like really in MOBAs. That's what you're always building up to, is that end game where you have the big team fights, the 5v5s.
Yeah. It like every, you know, 6 months or something, I load up Steam, I mean Smite, and I just start playing ARAM because it's fun. There's, you can't say it's not fun, especially if you understand the game to on some level. Is there an equivalent
of ARAM in Smite?
No, in
or I'm not in Heroes of the Storm. They have like a rotation that they do. I don't know if they still do it. I haven't played the game in years. But
they don't have that rotation anymore. It's all ARAM all the time.
Oh, okay. What did they call that mode? It was like they had a name for it. And it would be like a random. It would either be like ARAM, or it would be some like random, like really weird, wacky modes that they had come up with. You know, like all these really weird ones. But ARAM was the one that everyone loved.
But you don't play ARAM? Mini?
I play it sometimes, but most of the time it's just quick play.
Cool. I've also been playing Hades, just because it's been popping up a whole bunch, and last time I played it was in early access, like very pretty early access, but it was still a polished game. I remember like really enjoying it back then and talking about how beautiful it was and the voice acting, and it is so polished now. Everything just works. If you look at the ratings right now, we're talking about close to 40,000 buys, and it's at 98%. It's a roguelite where, you know, you acquire resources, you spend those resources on whatever you want, and that makes the subsequent runs easier. If you want, or you're building up your character, it doesn't make it easier. You just, you know, you're investing into whatever you like, or investing into random stuff. So you can invest into your character, like more health, more damage, stuff like that. Or you can invest into the structure of the place that you live, which is, like other rooms pop up, and the rooms, like, you can get. It's like a branching path, right? You can kind of pick between two rooms all the time.
What do the rooms do for you?
So, like, the entire game, like, you you beat a room, and then you have two options. And mm-hmm. it'll tell you what the goal, the reward of that room is going to be. More health or more money, right? And you got, I need more money this time, so I'm going to go to the money room. You okay. beat that one. Next one is like you get a god perk or you have more health. And then you keep going, right? But then if as you expand the more rooms, you're getting more options of what might pop up. Does that make sense? Different okay. kinds of rooms with different kind of rewards.
Yeah.
And so you can invest in the infrastructure, if you will, or you can invest in your character stats and like combo abilities and stuff.
Yeah. This game, a lot of people talk about this game.
I can't understate how polished this is.
Get out.
The voice acting is fucking incredible. The amount of content in the voices is incredible. Like, I feel like every run, there's more new things unlocked. Like voice acting unlocked, mm-hmm. which is, that can't be true because you die so much in roguelikes, right? Like, there's no way, but it makes you feel that way. It makes you feel that you're making incremental.
Yeah, you're constantly making progress.
You're making progress, but usually roguelikes, it's like your abilities and your items. Mm-hmm. Not in the story. Like, usually you'll beat a boss and new shit is unlocked, mm-hmm. story-wise. But this way, in this game, it seems like no matter what I do, in one avenue or another, even if I died right away, all the other gods are going to make fun of me. And even that unlocks more dialogue, you know?
Yeah. So, hey, is this game on Xbox Game Pass?
I don't know.
I think it is.
This is one of the best roguelikes out there. I mean, top yeah. tier.
I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast. I think I might have last week, but I follow... I did mention it. One of the developers of Killing Floor 2, who, by the way, Halloween update coming up. Let's all play that. He posted on his Twitter saying, like, I don't even like roguelikes, but I'm in love with this game.
Yeah.
Like, this is... I think they knocked it out of the park.
Many go buy this right now.
Dude, I'm looking at it, and I don't see a reason not to. Supergiant, as a developer, they don't miss, dude. They make every game they've made is amazing. The only one I didn't like was Pyre. Did you play that one?
Well, were you the idiot that quit because of your posed a question that you didn't like?
Yeah.
Do you regret that at all?
Good and is a great game, but yeah, there was an option in that game. I was like, you know what? I don't like either of these options, so I'm going to stop playing.
Well, they were taking a risk with Pyre, I feel like. You know,
yeah.
It's an RPG based on an Outland sport that they just made up, you know? So it's a huge risk. And, you know, I think it was probably a slight commercial success, but they did something cool. This game, dude, the mechanics are great. There's nothing wrong. There's zero things wrong with this game. I'm going to say that.
Yeah, I'm going to
reviews
get it.
Back that up. It's everybody's loving this game.
I've seen three different reviews say it's a perfect game. I'm not going to say that, but I mean, saying nothing's wrong with it is almost the same thing, right?
4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah. Could it be better? 4 out of 5 stars. I got to pee. But okay. Luckily, we have many here. To talk to, so that I'm not leaving him to dry on the vine here.
Yeah.
What about Halloween, dude?
Halloween, the Halloween franchise. So almost all the movies I watched this week were Halloween movies. I'm talking about the Halloween franchise. I mentioned last week that I had started watching that. I finished the Hellraiser franchise, started on the Halloween movies, made it through the first three last week. This week I watched 5 of them. And, oh boy. All right. I got a lot to say. Get comfortable here.
You know, I was thinking about you today because, I was going through Hulu and they had that Huluween thing going on.
Huluween, yep.
And I saw, shit. What was that? The one with the pinhead?
Hellraiser?
Yes. So I saw that on there. I was like, oh, Bobby, I was just thinking about that.
Oh man. They were showing Hellraiser on Huluween. Usually that's like kind of family stuff. They've been showing like Casper and Hotel Transylvania.
Yeah. Most of it was family stuff. And I think like that was Focus like Focus. One of maybe three. They had the Chainsaw Massacre and Texas one other Chainsaw. Thing.
Yeah. Classic. Yeah, man. So I mean, to sum up Hellraiser, just watch the first two and forget the rest, man. That's all you need to do. So with the Halloween franchise, this franchise has such an interesting history because they're still making these movies. Sniper, if you could go back to the Wikipedia page and click on the graphic in the bottom right corner with all the black dots. So if you're watching right now, you can see this. So this is how the franchise works. It's got these this timeline that forks at several different points. So you have your first two Halloween movies, then the third one's way off. It's its own thing. It's a whole completely different story. But then Halloween 3, 4, and 5 is kind of like its own little trilogy that takes place after the first two. And this one deals with Michael Myers's niece, this little girl who kind of has the same power as him, and they have some sort of supernatural connection, and it's all tied to this witch coven. So they kind of over-explain Michael Myers in this trilogy of 4, 5, and 6. They say that he is, you know, back in the old days, this witch coven used to sacrifice one family in a village to this evil god named like Sahame or something. And of course, in modern day, you can't do that because that's weird to murder a whole family. So what they do is they like cast some evil ritual on like a baby. That baby grows up and then murders his whole family. So that kind of explains why Michael Myers did all this stuff. And all that's slowly revealed to you throughout 4, 5, and 6. It's actually not very good. Like these are not the highest rated Halloween movies. A lot of people say 6 is the worst one, well, except for Resurrection, but we'll get to that later. But I thought actually 5 was the weakest one out of the trilogy, but the whole thing, like 4, 5, and 6, nah. So then they're going to do this a lot in this franchise. They do a soft reboot here. I didn't know they did this as far back as the 90s, but they come out with H2O, Halloween 22 or 20 years later, and they forget 4, 5, and 6, and they say, okay, this is a sequel to Halloween 1 and 2.
Okay.
Because 1 and 2 are basically like 2 starts as 1 finishes. They're basically right. Like one big movie.
There's got to be a word for that, dude. We brought that up last week on certain.
Yeah, there must be now. I mean, I know they've done that with Terminator, and I thought that was kind of like a new thing that they were doing with movies like within the last 5, 10 years maybe. But apparently, no. This has been going on since the 90s, maybe even further. But so H2O, I remember this movie coming out. It was 98. I never saw it back then, but I remember it being a big deal. They tripled the budget, spent like $17 million. They made like $75 million off this movie. They brought back Jamie Lee Curtis. They had a young Josh Hartnett is in there. Like they brought LL Cool J because he was in everything in 1998. He was in like that shark movie. Yeah, they throw him in here. Like
was a good movie, man. I love that shark movie.
That shark one, Deep Blue. Yeah, he raps at the end of that one.
yeah,
great one. But so they do that weird little reboot thing. At the beginning of the movie, they have this part where Michael Myers actually kills off Laurie, Jamie Lee Curtis's character, and like ends that chapter, and then it kind of becomes about something. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that was in Halloween Resurrection. Scratch that. Getting ahead of myself. So I don't know. H2O still wasn't that good, but I'm like, that's interesting that they did the reboot. Then they go to Resurrection, the next one in 2002. And this is the one where at the beginning they kill off Laurie Strode, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Did she come in for the actual shot? Like, was there
she's actually
a novel
there.
Shot?
Yeah, okay. They bring her back. The movie starts out with Michael Myers
killing his sister.
Yeah, killing his sister. But here's the thing. At the end of H2O, she lops off his head with an axe.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, we're done, you know, we're right. done here. No, the guy has been decapitated. And then at the beginning,
we made $75 million.
Yeah.
And we are not done here.
Exactly. Exactly. So in Resurrection, it's so bad, dude. The beginning of the movie is like two nurses walking down the hall, and one of them's like, oh, so you're new here, so you don't know about Laurie. Well, let me tell you, she accidentally murdered a guy. She thought it was Michael Myers.
But
Michael Myers dressed up a paramedic in his
mask. Retconned it?
Yeah, they retconned it. And then, this is what happens, dude. And the nurse is like, why didn't the paramedic say something if he had the Michael Myers mask on? And was like, hey, I'm not Michael Myers. And she's like, oh, well, Michael Myers crushed his larynx, so he couldn't say that. So it's just like they're totally
explaining the retcon.
Yeah, just over explaining it. And if you're confused right now, good, you should be. Like it was like, what? Wait, huh? So yeah, that's how the movie starts out. Okay, gets better. That's actually the good part of the movie. The next part of the movie, this is 2002, by the way. Yeah. The next part of the movie is Tyra Banks and Busta Rhymes have a company called Dangertainment, which is a webcam reality show. Then they bring in a bunch of teens, including Katie Sackhoff, Starbuck from
Battlestar. Hot Idiots.
Yes, Young Hot Idiots, to wander around the Michael Myers house and get scared and spooked out. But then, of course, Michael Myers is still alive and he doesn't like that, so he starts murdering all of them. There is a scene where Busta Rhymes kung fu fights Michael Myers.
Fuck off.
We have literally jumped off the shark. This is the moment where it's just like
a sniper. You know, can we get that scene, please?
can we get Busta Rhymes kung fu fighting Michael Myers? It happens, dude. It happens, and it's
not. How have I not seen this GIF?
it's wild, man. Like, I'm watching this, and I'm just, and the whole thing. This sounds like it'd be great, dude. A Palm Pilot is a pivotal plot device, okay, in this movie too. Like, she's always going to the Palm Pilot for like
you think it was product placement.
It might have been, but
can't say P words right now, dude.
Yeah. But I just wanted to say Palm Pilot a bunch of times, because when's the last time you've heard about a personal digital assistant? Remember those?
Every time we say it, we get $5 from Pilot.
Yeah, dude. Palm Pilot. Are they still out there doing some promotion here? Yeah, and the whole thing, because it's a webcam reality show, there's a lot of like first person, like shaky cam stuff, and you know, I almost took a screenshot of this. There's a really weird part where Katie Sackhoff, she plays like this like ditzy blonde chick, and this other guy there is trying to like get her to strip, and she's kind of like teasing him, like pretending she's going to pull up her shirt, and while she's doing this, she's making this horrifying face, dude, like this. Like, I'm a goofy teen face, but it's just, it's not working for me. And it was just, oh God, it was terrible.
You said, because I'm watching this kung fu fight.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the kung fu fight right here. This is the first time that he, you know, supposedly kills Busta Rhymes, but then Busta Rhymes survives and comes back.
And, oh, he gets resurrected too?
Yeah. He comes back, and then they, yeah, this isn't it, Sniper. I hate to tell you. They have another fight later
on. Oh, okay.
In the movie.
Of course.
Yeah, because they think
yeah. This is like if we did this.
It's not good, dude. It's not good.
Is this the worst movie you've seen in the last 6 months?
No. I don't,
Bobby,
think
are
so.
You into like B movies or like,
oh yeah,
B,
dude, I watch all that trash. Yeah, for sure.
So today I watched a movie called The Lost Skeleton, or no, the first one's called The Lost Skeleton of Kadabra. And the next one was like the Legend of Kadabra Returns Again. And these are just
Returns
like,
Again?
Yeah, Returns Again. They're just like really bad. Like the main protagonist is a flying skull, but you can see like the fishing line that's like carrying it across the string.
Wow.
And it's like goofy to the point where like they're trying to make it seem like it's just too goofy to watch. Like this guy, like the skull's like tapping this guy on the head, and so he's like, kinda, oh my God, it hurts so
wait,
much.
Wait, Busta, is that enough, dude? He's been training. He's got confidence.
Oh God, here we go.
Mike's just
full on roundhouse, dude. Just jumped up in the air and roundhouse kicked him. Oh, here he goes. There he goes. Oh no, dude, you got to watch that. Grab the leg. Oh. Tag team here, WrestleMania. Yeah, dude, it's wild. I mean, don't watch this. Well, maybe watch this movie. It's only an hour and a half, but it's a long hour and a half. But you could go on YouTube and just see the craziness of it all. And yeah, I mean, this
his
is
mask
where
is not scary either.
Yeah, you know what that mask is?
Yeah, you told me it's like a president.
No, it's William Shatner, like Star Trek mask. But as the movies went on, they kind of like redesigned the mask, because in the very first movie, he just goes to like a hardware store, like some shop that happens to be selling masks, and he grabs one, and it happened to be a William Shatner mask, but you can't really tell. I mean, now that I've said it, you look at it and you're like, okay, yeah, I could kind of see it. But yeah, as the movies go on, they become more pale, and like the features get a little more pronounced, and like the hair a little longer, like the mask changes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not as creepy.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is where I left off. This movie was so bad, they're like, all right, we need a whole new fresh start. I mean, that, and also in the mid 2000s, like 2007 is where like the new Rob Zombie Halloween starts. And that was like the trend in the mid 2000s to remake Reboots. All of the old, horror movies, you know, Texas Chainsaw, Hills Have Eyes. And a lot of them are actually pretty good. Friday the 13th, they remade that one.
I didn't know the Hills Have Eyes was a remake.
What was a remake? The Hills Have Eyes. Oh yeah, dude. That was,
that was a really old one.
Who did that first one? One of those famous horror directors. I want to say like Toby Hooper, but I think that's wrong. The first one is so low budget though that it's not that great. The remake I actually would conject is better there. But yeah, who is that director? Wes Craven. There we go. Yeah, that's a early Wes Craven. Just went out in the desert and they shot it with that one actor who, you know, is bald and very tall and looks like very freakish, and he doesn't have any sweat glands, so they had to like water him down. Yeah, that dude was in the Double Dragon movie, by the way.
Yeah. Oh man, that was terrible, dude, with the psychic dolphin.
The psychic dolphin? No, you're thinking of Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh, am I? Okay, I thought that was Double Dragon.
No, I don't think there was a psychic dolphin in Double Dragon, but I could be wrong. I watch way too many movies, so sometimes it all gets kind of blurred. Yeah, man. So what did you watch, Amelia?
I watched David Attenborough. It couldn't be more different.
We're doing a full 180 here.
Yeah. David Attenborough's A Life on This Planet. And he's, if you don't know who he is, you must be a communist. Like, David Attenborough is nature. Like,
are you saying communists don't know who David Attenborough is?
He's been doing it forever, dude. He's been doing it since he was like 20. Mm-hmm. He's been doing nature documentaries. And he's 94 now. And he's basically just fed up. Like, he's tired of people not listening to him. And not listening to the data and all of this stuff. And it's all stuff that we know, basically, about our impending doom. Mm-hmm. And just showing it to you again and reminding you.
Sounds depressing.
Yeah, it's really, really depressing. Dude, 70% of the birds on this world are domesticated. And of those, 90% are chickens.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not looking good for birds.
Basically, what he's saying is that we are an animal that has run amok because we have no predators. And we've basically beat most of mm-hmm. our diseases.
That's probably why his brother tried to bring the dinosaurs back.
What are we talking about?
You know, his brother's Richard Attenborough.
Yeah.
John Hammond from Jurassic Park.
What?
Oh.
All right. I had to explain that one, didn't
we? Crossing through dimensions, dude, to get that one done. But yeah, the actor is his brother, right?
Richard.
Who plays him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who died, unfortunately, but I'm surprised this guy's still alive.
94, dude.
Yeah.
And they're showing early footage. So he did a documentary called Life on This Planet. And it's basically, it took them like 10 years and they went around the world. It mm-hmm. was the first like huge nature series. It was before my time.
Yeah, wasn't it just called, I thought it was just called Life.
No, that was like a recent one. But we're talking about one that was made in like the 70s or 80s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's called Life on This Planet. And, you know, he went around and he says that he didn't notice at the time, although he started to notice that like life was dwindling around the world. And then when he did the newer ones, he's like, it's just, you go somewhere and that was places that were full of life are either gone completely or just completely devoid of life. And, basically, he's saying that because we have no predators and we're curing our own diseases, we've beat the game of checks and balances that that nature has mm-hmm. Built in. And we are doing more danger to ourselves by doing whatever we want than if the nature's checks and balances were in place.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes a strong case, man. It's super depressing. And it's stuff that you already know in the back of your mind. And he just brings it to light mm-hmm. again.
Yeah, it's that stuff you try to forget.
Yeah, you try to forget.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. That's
and he's been doing this for decades, man. I remember watching the Planet Earth, I think, was like the first big series that I knew about from him.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he was already old as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was already in his 80s, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's an old guy, man. And that was mid-2000s, I think he made that. And I remember, I watched that from, start to finish because I was, at my uncle's house for a week and he had that. And, the last scene in the series, always, it just burned itself into my mind, which is, this pulling out shot of these blue whales. And, he's, voicing over. He's, basically, if we don't get our shit together, all this is dead. And I was like, holy shit, man, he's probably right. And that was, the first, light bulb that went off my head.
Yeah, and it makes it so much worse, dude. And what he's saying is that we don't have to fix nature for nature's sake. Oh, actually, this is how he closes it out. We have to fix nature for our sake. Because he was just saying that how the global warming thing is just, it's a steep hockey puck straight up, basically. Every bad thing that happens is going to make it worse and less likely that we can come back from it. Everybody should check it out, basically.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah. How long is it? Is it like a
short
couple part series or
no? Oh, just hour and 10 minutes, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a guess.
I kind of saw it and I thought, oh, this is like another Planet Earth thing. They just have some really awesome footage and you learn a little bit here. Because that was the whole thing with Planet Earth. I mean, it came out at a time where there was a real big emphasis on high def. So, you'd watch these incredibly looking images, moving images on screen, and it was awesome. But I'm kind of more interested in this now that I hear the angle.
This is going to be a weird kind of statement, but I tell people that they should do mushrooms at least every 2 years to check their ego, get their ego in check.
Yeah,
you have. It's like some psychic healing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And documentaries like these are almost like the same thing. It's like a dose of mushrooms for cultures. You know what I mean? It's it's almost like a Inconvenient Truth. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh shit, we need to rethink everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be as big as that documentary, but I don't know. It's on Netflix. You should watch it.
This is why we need the dinosaurs back, man. That's what I'm saying. Get a few dinosaurs up in here.
Laugh it away, Bobby. You're not taking any of the responsibility.
More apex predators.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
Oh, man. I don't even want to get into it. When he goes down the list of these five checkpoints that if they happen, each one of them is going to compound. It's almost like it just gets so much worse every time one of these checkpoints is mixed and we're on the verge of every single one of them. Yeah. And he's at the end of his life, dude. So he did this big series, the 10-year one called Life on Earth. This is called A Life on Earth. It's his personal account of watching these animals be decimated throughout his life. Mm-hmm. His life personally. You know what I mean? Yeah. Check it out.
Awesome. okay, I want to talk about one other movie that I watched this week. The only movie that wasn't a Halloween movie. It's called Leviathan. There's a couple movies out by this name, but this is the one from 1989. I remember watching this a long time ago as a kid and really liking it. I watched it again and I was like, ooh, okay.
5.8, dude.
Yeah, that's actually not bad for IMDb. It's not a great movie, but I still really like this movie for some reason. So it's basically Alien, but underwater. Mm-hmm. And it's got Daniel Stern and Peter Weller.
The same panties.
The same panties?
Yeah, that Ripley wore. The same style.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well, it probably was around the same time
period. I know those anywhere.
Yeah. But yeah, it's basically the Alien movie, but underwater, and the practical effects were not as good as I remember them. But I always remember it just from Daniel Stern turning into a giant sea creature. And I'm watching this movie the other night, and it's one of those things where it just becomes so familiar. You're oh God, I totally remember that line. They start the line and then you end up finishing it with them.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. Yeah. And it got to the end of the movie and I was like, oh my God, I totally forgot about this. At the end of the movie, Peter Weller just punches a lady in the face, just walking by and pow.
Sometimes you got to do that, dude.
Yeah, I know. Sean Connery. Sean sure. Connery, you want to weigh in on that? But what happens? So this is like a late 80s movie. So of course it's got these really heavy undertones of like anti-corporatism and, you know, big business and pro-labor and stuff like that. So the plot of the movie is that they're this underwater mining facility, and they find this like sunk Russian ship. They get some stuff off of it. They find some liquor in there. They drink the liquor, and it turns out like it was, it has this chemical in it that the Russians were experimenting that were trying to make like humans that could breathe underwater, but it ended up turning humans into these giant monstrosities.
Oh, is this the one, man? Oh, I feel like it was not going to line up, but I remember this one where like they filled up. Oh, that's The Abyss.
The Abyss, yeah. Which came out the same year as this.
They fill up their blood with a different kind of blood so that they don't feel pressure. I believe that's the way it
they
works.
They drink in the Abyss.
Oh,
they
in their
drink
lungs.
In. Yeah, in yeah, their yeah, lungs. Yeah, yeah. They fill up their lungs with a certain
liquid.
Yeah, they test it on the rat. And the guy's like, you know, because the guy's got like a rat he carries around. Yeah, we'll come back to The Abyss because there's a lot of comparisons you can draw to this.
Yeah, The Abyss is clearly better.
Well, it's a much longer movie. It's directed by, who's that famous?
James Cameron.
Yeah, James Cameron. But the ending of The Abyss, I got a big problem with.
Who's that director, dude? You mean the fucking wizard that stands for good? He's amazing.
He does a lot of good stuff. The Abyss is a great movie, man. I recently, like maybe 6 months ago, watched like the director's cut, like the straight up 3.5 hour version of it. But at the end of the movie, like the aliens, he goes down there, he meets the underwater aliens, and like he finds out that they're doing this stuff because they're upset that alien or humans are like, having
planet,
war
right?
with each, yeah, ruining the planet and like declaring war on each other and like causing all this violence. And then like somehow that's made clear to like everybody on the ship and upstairs. And then Ed Harris like turns to the military guy and is like, well, I guess you guys are out of business. And I'm like, and it's like this sweet ending. Like we solved war. We solved war, guys. We solved all the conflicts in the world.
All we needed was water aliens. Well,
yeah. A water alien just said, hey, knock that off. Because they make this giant tsunami at the end, and then they like hold it back, and then they're just like, you know, it's like their warning shot or something. So, yeah, I was just kind of like, man, that the ending didn't work for me. But The Abyss is a great movie. That's a great
movie. He was young trying to say a lot of things, dude.
Yeah, and he's always been better at that, like, big blockbuster action type stuff, which is he nails it in that. This Leviathan feels, like, very cheaply made compared to that. And, you know, there's still something about it I like. But again, back to the plot. So it's about like this underwater mining facility, this contagious monster thing breaks out, you know, this thing that like absorbs, like it turns you into a monster, and then it absorbs like other people that have been turned into a monster to this weird gross thing that has like human heads popping out of it. And so the evil corporate boss that they keep communicating with on like the video link is just like, oh, there's a storm up there. We can't come pick you up right now. And, you know, you'll have to hold out for 48 hours. And then they find out later, like, oh, they've already declared them all dead. So the stock prices wouldn't go down, you know, just trying to like save face. And the boss is a woman. And the boss is played by a really good actor. I can't remember her name, but she's been in a few other movies, and she's got these cold blue eyes, just these eyes like steel, just and this look that is so uncaring. She's perfect for the role. But and then of course at the end, when a few of them do escape, they run into her and she's like, oh, I'm so glad you made it. And then he punches her in the face. Like, it is kind of weird, like punching a woman in the face, but then you're kind of like, well, yeah, but she's the evil corporate lady. It's a tough call.
Dude, if she's responsible for multiple deaths, you could punch a lady in the face.
I don't know. We'd have to talk to Sean Connery.
If there's a lady Hitler, you could punch her in the face, dude.
Hitler was a lady, then you could punch her in the face. That's when it's okay. Or if they talk too much, according to Sean Connery.
Minnie, are you still there? Are you following all this?
It's weird, like, not being at a table. Like, I can't have any like physical cues to like, hey guys, my fucking turn to talk or anything. And then when I start talking, like, I can't hear you talk, so I don't know if you guys are trying to ask me a question while I'm talking.
Okay, so we can like, what's the worst and best shit you've seen in the last 6 months
for movies,
whatever?
Oh, movies, shit. TV.
We've really opened up the gates. Basically, if you took a really good shit, we want to hear about it. Meanwhile, dude, I really got to pee. I'll be right back.
I've been trying to like
let me cue you
watch
up and walk away.
Watch new series, like sitcoms, mostly just with my girl and me. We're just like on the couch and we've been like burning through the sitcoms, like Schitt's Creek. That's a really good one. If you haven't seen that one.
I've watched the first few episodes because it's got people in it that I absolutely love. Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara. Yeah, just absolutely hilarious people from way back in SCTV is where they're from, in a lot of 80s movies. Yeah, so I have watched a few episodes, but I got to pick that up again.
Yeah, they're all Canadian. And the last awards show, I don't know what that was called, but they won like a slew of awards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember hearing about that because a lot of when they were talking about it on the news, they all couldn't say like the name of the show because of the profanity. So they,
right?
I think it was on like Colbert or something. They had like this montage of just like all these news people trying to like talk about how this had won so many awards without saying the name of the show.
So yeah, the show basis like a rich family just gets uprooted and they go to this like piece of shit town called Schitt's Creek, and then they gotta like try to relearn to live life.
It's like reverse Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, yeah, just like that.
Oh, Sam watches that. Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we also watched The Good Place. That was like 5 seasons long, and I think we took like 2 weeks to watch that shit.
Stop watching terrible shit, dude.
I mean, it's not bad. I just mean that, like, because it's just sitcom movie, a show. It's not like award winning.
Watch The Watchmen, dude, on HBO.
Oh yeah, I do need to do that. God, and yeah, I do have HBO. So yeah, good, mean do that. God
damn it, is it good? And well, this will lead perfectly into something else, but no filler, because they knew going in it's one season. I want to make it as good as it's going to be. And that's it. We're telling a story like a movie, and that's it. We're not going for season two. And I really enjoyed that the director was like, why would we touch it? It's a perfect little bite of chocolate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I remember you talking about that, and yeah, I definitely need to check that out. I'll do that now that I remember.
And going into Cloak and Dagger, which is on Hulu. I don't watch anything on Hulu almost, because it's what Bobby complains about TV. I feel like, you know, it's old network. A lot of the stuff, it's filler. Let's make 17 episodes every season, and we're just trying to take up space so we could sell more ad revenue.
No, that was TV for the longest period of time.
Yeah, and I feel like Hulu is filled with.
Yeah, they got all the syndicated shows on there, but it's nice, dude. Sometimes you want to roll through 11 seasons of Frasier.
No, you don't.
Sometimes you want to do that. Sometimes you want to catch up on Mama's Family.
It's good that it's there.
Is it Dagger, the old Marvel comic?
Yeah, it's the old Marvel comic. I don't know anything about the old Marvel comic, even though I'm a big comic nerd. I have never even heard of them. So
I got a few issues.
Go ahead.
I have a few of these issues, like, of the comic in my closet right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Was it a black guy and a white girl?
Yes.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, same thing. A lot of the premise, the acting, the directing, everything is good. Like, there's nothing really wrong with this show, except for they were going for like 24 episodes. It is so goddamn slow for the sake of what you were talking about, just like the old TV tropes, you know what I mean? Just like, let's stretch this out as long as we can. Let's get 4 seasons out of a really good story, but now let's dilute every little segment to the point where, dude, there was like a 3-minute segment or shot or whatever that was told by both perspectives, and they played it verbatim from both the only thing that changed was the camera angle.
Yeah, the worst was, you don't see this anymore, but the worst was, this was often in animated shows, every so often they would have a clip show where they just if a show had made it long enough, they would just have one episode where they have some flimsy setup at the beginning, and then that would be like a reason for them to recall a bunch of memories, and then they just play back a bunch of old clips from the old episodes.
whatever. People were trying to make money.
Yeah.
The downside about this is I really like the show. I like everybody on it. I like the casting. I like the directing. I like the shots. I like the cinematography. This is a show that I would love if it was on Netflix. Unfortunately, it's old media, and it hurts that, like, I can't watch this in a condensed version. It'd be great if somebody came out with a 1.5 on YouTube that was like 1 hour of true content. You know what I mean?
Just threw it into like Premiere Pro and just went at it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man.
Yeah.
But, dude, if you like the comics, I would definitely check out the show. It's not a bad show.
Man, I don't even remember anything about the comics. Like, I read this when I was a teenager.
And here's some just some news. Crucible has been canceled outright from Amazon, and Amazon is offering some refunds. So if you bought any of the in-game purchases, you can actually get your money back. It's probably going to be Amazon credit. I don't know.
That's crazy, man. It, you know what? It
wasn't
probably
that
the
bad
right
of a game, dude.
It wasn't, but it wasn't going to make money, man. Like, it just wasn't. Like, it wasn't going to be Apex Legends. It wasn't going to be.
It could have been. With like another 6 months of work, it could have been a competitor.
I don't know. I think you got to come out the gate like that and just knock it out of the park.
That's what I'm saying. 6 months more before you release it.
No, I don't think so. I think they had their outing. They saw the reaction to it. Yeah.
Dude, has Amazon canceled every game they've tried to create other than this new RPG?
The new RPG?
Yeah.
I think so, because what was the other one? It was like some weird sport.
Yeah, some sports game.
I mean, I remember one of those three that I know about.
In 2016, I think it was, and they were debuting it there, and I had a lot of fun playing it, but then it got canceled like a year later.
Mm-hmm.
Like a 48, dude, I feel like that's exceptionally harsh. Don't you think? At least a 65.
Yeah, I'd have to read. We're talking about the score that PC Gamer gave it. I'd have to read the whole article to see what the issues they took with it, but I didn't think it was terrible. But it's just, you know, a game like that needs a large community, and it needs a lot of people playing it and a lot of people talking about it. And it just, it didn't happen right away. And this is not going to be like a Fallout guys or a Among Us thing where it gets discovered 2 years later and then they start making a killing like that. I mean, I think the reason that Among Us was so popular, it's just like a small little game. It's like an underdog, and nobody's going to give Crucible the time of day.
Yeah. It's so unfortunate. And I also think that there's a bias. I feel like people are, oh, this is Amazon. This is the big, you know, this is big.
Oh, yeah. Whatever, big, I mean, business. Whenever you do that, whenever Amazon makes a game, people are going to be like, oh, well, like, you know, they got that Amazon money. And I'm like, that's a valid complaint, but at the same time, it's just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you're going to make a great game.
No,
you
know? Definitely not.
What was this game supposed to be? Because I don't know anything about it. Is this a looter shooter or is it a MOBA? Like, I'm watching videos and I'm not getting
that's
it.
That's one of the big problems. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I was trying to be something very different. It was kind of a combination between a MOBA and a, what would you call it? Like an ability shooter, like kind of like
ability shooter. And then, also fucking whatever PUBG is. What is it?
Yeah.
I can't even think of the word, dude. What is PUBG?
Battleground? Battle Royale.
Yeah.
Kind of like it took elements from all those different things and
it spread it across three different game modes, which you don't, especially early on, you want one solid thing that people are going to latch onto. Maybe diversify later. Don't come out with three game modes.
Especially like when you do your open beta, I think it's best just to have that one mode. Like, well, you know, just put your best foot forward. There probably could have been some better things done or handled during the release and marketing and all that of the game. But I just think at the end of the day, you kind of got a, not like a dud, but you just got something that's not special on your hands. Like if you made a game like that, that was just like, I don't know, a single player campaign or like a platformer or something. And you just like, this game's going to be $10. You sell a bunch of copies or you don't, you know, and you just put it out there. But a game like this that needs constant support and updates, people work on it all the time. Like you can't afford to do that if it's not made, if it hasn't made a big impact, like Apex Legends or PUBG.
It was a great looking game. It felt fine. Like we had some fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a good night on it.
Yeah.
Oh, we actually played it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What else? So Amazon offering refunds. You could get rid of that too, Sniper. Torchlight 3 has its full release. Its reviews, even recent reviews, are pretty bad. I believe it happened today or yesterday, the full release. So maybe it's going to get updated, but I'm still holding out hope that it's going to be a good dungeon crawler. Like Torchlight 1 was one of my favorite dungeon crawlers, if not my favorite of all time. So, you know, I want it to work. I already bought it. I bought it when it was in early access. So I'm going to give it another shot after full release. Now, when he brings it up, it still says early access. So maybe it's not, it hasn't happened quite yet. Maybe it's about to happen. Mm-hmm. So I'll definitely, once it actually happens, I'll give it a shot and I will let you guys know because I hope it works.
That was the one where they had to change the whole...
The entire scope of the game.
Yeah, the whole game pretty much.
Yeah, because they were going to go with like game as a service.
Yeah, this kind of like more open world.
Free to play.
Yeah. Well, good luck there. All right, and then we got another bit of news here. Outriders delayed till February 2021.
Yeah, I just want to mention this because, first of all, I'm all for delays. I think they're generally a good thing. And Outriders really stood out to me when I took a look at it. So it's one of those things that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, love those delays, all about them.
I really am.
You know, it is good, and I'm glad you brought that up because, Sniper, if you could go to the Deep Rock Galactic page, specifically the news section, so that big update that Deep Rock Galactic was going to have got postponed 2 weeks. And, of course, everybody was like, ah, that sucks. But then in the post, they explain in detail. They're like,
this is what you want, transparency.
Yeah, right? Yeah, total transparency and just being honest and taking their time. They said, look, because of COVID or something going on where we live here in Sweden, like a lot of people are going back to schools kids are going to be off of school. So a lot of our workers are going to have their kids with them. And then we have like a no crunch policy, and this is just, you know, going to really complicate things. So it's going to be 2 more weeks. I'm butchering what they said, but they kind of laid it all out and just told you exactly what was happening. And the comment section just filled with people like, totally understand. Yeah, right? Very supportive stuff.
The opposite of what you would usually see.
It's insane, dude. Like, why can't everybody be Ghost Ship Games? Is what I'm wondering.
Or CD Projekt Red. Although they're having the crunch time, right?
They do crunch, though.
But they don't do... Everything else seems to be really good. Dude, I don't know.
I mean, we'll see. Cyberpunk coming out soon.
I'm in an industry that is... that has crunch. And it's like... I talk to a lot of people about it, and... It's just the way things go.
Yeah.
You have to start working 70-hour weeks. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah, and a lot of people act like it's this inevitable thing, but obviously it's not.
Right.
Like, obviously people are successful, and they're making a game as a service that doesn't have, like, a huge following, but these guys are making their money, man. Like, I feel like Deep Rock Galactic is just, like, a shining example. It is exemplar in a world of otherwise disappointing and tragic stuff.
Sean, do you ever have, is that how your industry works, crunch time at the end of a project?
It's funny you should say that, because I did just go through that, but that was because the two guys, I work for a very small company, like five guys I think are employed in this company, and my two lead guys, they just got fired for failing a drug test.
And without meth?
And, no, it was just marijuana, dude.
Oh,
fucking stupid Texas, bullshit. Dude. And so, like, those are the only guys that know anything about this job. The other guys I have, they're just helpers. So I was left, like, trying to be the foreman on three different job sites. Jeez. And it was rough, dude. Oh, dude. It
sounds like you need to roll up a doobie.
I said, like, at the end of that couple of weeks, I was like, it was like 4 weeks they were gone. They just got back because they got like a month suspension. But yeah, after that, I was like, dude, I want nothing more than just smoke one down.
Dude, how weird is it to think about that Bobby was a pothead at some point? Like, this analytical robot.
You know, I failed a drug test. I failed a drug test in 2009 for CompUSA. Dude, talk about a blessing in disguise, bro.
Wow.
Could have been up in there with my red shirt.
Still to this day.
What is the policy over there where you work? Like, do they Like, they drug test. Do they drug test at all?
Yeah, but my friend,
and is marijuana okay?
My friend Paul was like, "Yeah, it's supposed to be random, but sometimes for some reason it's been me the last four times."
Well, they always
is bullshit.
They always drug test if there's an accident, right?
Right.
There's an homicide.
No accidents. Just like the random.
Yeah,
guy,
but they do the random.
It's always
stuff.
Him. Mm. Yeah. It's hilarious, dude. He's like, I don't think it's so random.
Dude, the military wastes so much. Well, I can't say waste. They use a shit ton of money for drug testing. Dude, like, in a month, I got drug tested 3 times. And that's, I can't imagine how much that would cost. Because it wasn't just me, but it was like thousands of others. They probably go through like a million a day.
One of the worst things that's ever. This is one of the worst policies ever.
Well, it's a crock of shit, first of all.
It's a crock of shit,
And then, it's fucking horrible, dude. We don't need, we should have less drug testing and more COVID testing, all right? Bobby 2020. Let's do it, folks. It's my platform. All right. We got a lot of listener questions. And I feel like we've been going on a little long.
Dude, Sniper said that the first time he watched Planet Earth was he was on mushrooms for the first time. That must have been the greatest experience of your life, dude.
That sounds pretty
That sounds amazing.
Not really. I don't know. Something
it all you're watching, me.
When you're watching movies on mushrooms, it's just you just want to go outside and experience it, you know?
I see.
Trippy happens. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to do mushrooms indoors.
I don't know, man. I don't know. The world is scary.
Well, you don't want to do it in public either. You want to be in nature by a river, right?
Oh, okay.
A babbling brook, if you will.
Babbling brook. All right, let's get to these listener questions, man. We got so many of them, and they're really long, too. So here we go. First one's coming from Media Hype Train, otherwise known as Steve. I think I pulled this out of the movie section here, but I thought it would work for listener questions. Horror recommendation, the newest Invisible Man, another one of those, wow, this could happen to me scenarios. For documentaries, one to make you think would be Social Dilemma on Netflix. I also recommend Where to Invade Next, if you like to see how bizarrely behind America is compared to some other countries. Hmm. So a lot of recommendations here. Let's start from the top. Invisible Man, saw it in theaters, really liked it. Yeah, it's one of those like gaslighting horror movies where like nobody, you know, everybody thinks you're crazy, but you're the only sane one type of thing like
that. I forgot what gaslighting means.
Gaslighting is when you make people think that they're the crazy ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But what I really liked about that movie is it actually had kind of like a scientific technical aspect to it. It wasn't like, ooh, boogeyman scary. Like,
this could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like an actual, like there's science behind what's happening in the movie. I don't want to spoil too much of it cause it's kind of new, but yeah, it was pretty good. It's got Elizabeth Moss in it in the lead role. Cool. And I thought it was pretty solid.
Wait, who was the invisible guy? Was it Kevin Bacon or something?
No, you're thinking of Hollow Man.
That's the one I'm thinking of, yes.
This is why you got kicked off the podcast, dude. Like, little interjections like that. No,
you kicked me really far, dude.
I gotta go pee.
Okay. And next one, he's talking about the Social Dilemma. And before we talk about this, I want to read another thing from Kurt the Ape here. It says, it would be interesting if they could review the Social Dilemma. Bobby is an educator and Emilio as a father. I think both would have something to contribute. So Social Dilemma is this new documentary that is on Netflix about the effects of social media and how it's kind of shadowed our entire lives and how it kind of controls us. And I have been kind of interested in watching this. It's one of those things I've heard so much buzz about, and it seems like one of those like sensational documentaries that, maybe I don't know. It kind of seemed like Tiger King to me, just like, you know, one of those types of documentaries, but everybody has been talking about it. So I do feel like I want to watch that. Any interest in that one, Minnie, or have you seen it?
I don't even know anything about this.
Really? You haven't heard of the Social Dilemma?
No.
What about you, Emilio? Have you seen that?
Yeah, man. So with Sam, that's my girlfriend, Samantha, I really feel like she falls victim to a lot of this stuff because she's on her phone so much. Like, if she's not doing something like feeding the baby, making food, cleaning, she's on social media, or at least on her phone. And I had already read a bunch of, like, studies, because I don't really do any of that. I'm on Reddit, but that seems more like reading a newspaper to me. There's some social aspect to it for sure, but it doesn't, there's no, I feel like Instagram specifically is like a competition of who can get the best pictures.
Yeah.
Who can pretend.
Thirsty pics and IG models. And
well, not just that, but I mean like just between friends, let's say a circle of friends. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of those friends are a little more well off and another them have more free time so they can do more cool shit. So you're seeing little glimpses of the best. You're literally seeing 1 millisecond of the best part of their week every week. And so it seems like their life is perfect because this is what they're broadcasting.
You're kind of creating your own narrative.
Right. And then everybody else is interpreting that. And then there's keeping up with the Joneses. Like, why aren't we doing that kind of stuff? I'm not saying that we've had this conversation, but your brain is doing this. Like, why am I not by the pool every single day? Even though it's not every single day, it just seems that way from all the posts. You know what I mean? Nobody, that's unsustainable unless you have a... Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm interested to see what the thesis of this documentary is. Like, I kind of have an idea of what it is, but... You know, I really want to know. I'm not sure exactly what they're getting at with
this. We're going to sit down and watch that for sure.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I might have time this week to... we'll see where I'm at on Halloween movies.
It causes the
punches,
man. You're constantly comparing yourself to everybody else.
Yeah.
And are you better than everybody else? It's impossible, especially in every category. So you're just going to lose every time. You come up a loser every time.
Well, it's a very disconnected way to... interact with people as well. And it's crazy to think how much of our lives are online now. I mean, I've been that guy always on the computer since like the 90s, man. And you know, nobody was doing that back then, but now slowly it's just like everybody's online. That's where we get so much of everything, like our interaction, our entertainment, and you can create whatever world you want online. You can create whatever truths you want online. Like it's weird. I mean, there's a lot of good things about it, but there's also a lot of dangerous things about it. So, yeah, I mean, that's an interesting topic to explore, but I feel like it could go in a lot of weird directions too, a lot of not good directions. So I don't know. I'll check it out and then make up my mind. Okay. The last thing he says was where to invade next. And that's about how bizarrely behind America is compared to other countries. And this I'm kind of interested in. I don't know what he means exactly by behind other countries, but I have heard from people who travel a lot, they say that like a lot of other countries have a lot of like inventions or things that are like commonplace that we don't. Like, you remember when the chip started popping up on credit cards?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Europe had that way before us, and they've moved on to some other like new thing that's easier and more secure or something. And then I have heard like that from a lot of people who travel abroad, that we are a little behind when it comes to technology, which you wouldn't think so being such a capitalistic society, but I don't know.
That's not what I was getting from this. I don't know. I haven't seen the documentary or whatever, but I think he's probably talking about like education, healthcare, stuff like that. Yeah, like we're super far behind on all that stuff. Go ahead.
Like social policies?
Yeah, social policies and just like quality of life type stuff. You know, you hear that like a McDonald's worker makes the equivalent of $17.50 an hour, gets 4 weeks of vacation, gets 6 months of paternal leave. You know, when you hear that, you're like, what are we doing wrong over here? And when you hear that specifically, you're like, oh, everything. I don't know, man.
I've never even heard of this documentary, Where to Invade Next.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it either.
When you were talking about that chip, Bobby, I remembered when I used my phone to pay for something at a snack machine, and I felt like so like old. It's like, wow, I felt like this is where the technology is now, and it's probably been around for like years. But like, I just like tapped my phone to this machine. Yeah.
Dude, I did like, that at...
Oh, God, this is a Michael Moore movie.
What's the pretzel? What's the pretzel place in the mall, Bobby? Sell pretzels.
Oh, what is that pretzels?
I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I tap my watch to pay, And the girl looked at me like I was crazy, first of all. And then it worked. And she's like, did you just pay with your watch? I was like, yeah, dude, it's Amazon Pay or whatever.
Yeah, Google Pay.
Yeah. And she, mind blown, dude. Nobody had done that. What are you talking about? Is it first day on the job? Anyway. I smacked her in the face with the pretzel, dude. The coarse side, dude. Coarse side, dude.
All right. Next question from Old Man Dave. This is more of a suggestion for Bobby. If you haven't seen it, you should check out Saturday the 14th. It's a spoof of 70s horror movies. One of those so bad it's good movies. We all know how you like those. Dude, I know all about Saturday the 14th. I grew up on Saturday the 14th. I was like, it's not a well-known movie. It's not a movie you can quote to friends or even mention and anyone knows what you're talking about. It is... Jocko knows what I'm talking about. It's a deep cut. And anytime I'd watch a movie or a TV show and I'm just like, I'd see Jeffrey Tambor or Richard Benjamin and be like, oh, it's the guy from Saturday the 14th. But yeah, dude, this is I think this came out in 81 or 80. And I think it was on the Disney Channel.
Is it a straight comedy?
No. It's got some horror scary elements, but yeah, it's definitely... supposed to be super weird and kind of like hokey fun. And yeah, it's got a really bizarre tone. No, that's Richard Benjamin.
Oh, he looks a lot like Mr. Bean.
Yeah, he kind of does.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, this is a classic. I watched this last year during Halloween. I watch it like every couple of years, dude. This is like a family. It's like one of those family movies, you know, like one of those movies that you and your family like always quote to each other or like talk about because.
No, we don't. Because nobody's ever seen this except for you and this guy.
No, I'm talking about in theory, like you and your family have those types of movies.
Oh, right.
But
right.
dude, this is I'm glad you brought that up, man, because this. Oh, God, the scene with the cop. Yeah.
Oh, dude. What is it called?
Saturday the 14th.
Don't do it, dude.
You know, like Friday the 13th, but the next day. Yeah.
Gotcha.
What was the other spoof, the much more recent one, and maybe in the, like, 95, when it was like, don't drink gin and juice in the hood when you're...
Don't be a menace, I'll drink you juice
Central.
In the hood.
Yeah, in South Central.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, but wasn't there also one that was on the horror ones? Oh, that's just a scary movie.
Oh, yeah. Scary movie. And they made a lot of those. I mean, like five of them. And then they made a recent one that was so bad that was trying to spoof Paranormal Activity. I talked about it on the podcast like years ago, how bad it was.
I forgot about it really quick.
Yeah. And you should. It's not worth remembering. All right. Next question from Sniper. Where do you guys stand when it comes to the real-life effects that video games can have on politics? For example, in Genshin Impact, the words Taiwan and Hong Kong are censored in the game chat. Should we be more aware of these types of things when choosing who to support with our money?
It's interesting, man.
I used to not really give much mind to any of that kind of stuff. You know, if I wanted to play a game, I'd buy it, whatever. I mean, I kind of think about that stuff a little bit, but not really in the context of politics. It's more like, do I need to give more money to Blizzard, or I should really financially support these struggling indie devs, you know?
It was a big thing when Smite got bought by Tencent. Do you remember that?
Tencent, yeah.
We're like, oh, are we really going to support the Chinese government? Because that's what you're doing. Because it's a government sanctioned, or like they're one in the same, basically. And so we didn't care. We just kept playing. I feel like most people did.
I don't even remember thinking that back in the Smite days. But I don't know. This is a bigger topic. I feel like with movies right now because of the whole. Influence that China has on movies. They don't want to be portrayed as bad guys. Like Nick mentioned in chat, they took the patch off of Tom Cruise's jacket in the new Top Gun movie. Like they're very, because here's the problem with movies. Movies that are made in America make a ton of money in China. That is a huge market for them. If they can't sell their movie in China, then that's a big problem.
And they fund a lot of movies here.
Yeah, I mean, they do help fund a lot of movies, but also that's just a huge market that's
open. I know somebody worked at Legendary, and she said a lot of their money came from China. A lot. It was just as a financial, kind of like an investment.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, money talks, of course, but there's been a lot of debate as whether you know, how much should we be supporting this? And I mean, I don't know, man. That's why like Mulan was supposed to make such a big amount of money, because, you know, a lot of people in America grew up with Mulan. They want to see the Disney remake, but also it's a Chinese story, deals a lot with Chinese heritage. Like, that's going to play super well over there.
And at the end of the day, it didn't do well here because it's just a bad movie. You still have, at the end of the day, you got to make a good movie still.
Yeah.
Here's the answer, Sniper. If it's really good, it goes beyond all borders, including politics. I'm going to play it. I'm not going to play a shitty game if it supports Hong Kong, if it doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, if it's super good, yeah, I'll probably pick it up.
All right. Next question from Warconius. Same idea as your conversation regarding Baldur's Gate 3 early access. Do you think you'll hold off on Cyberpunk? So this is talking about last week when we talked about Baldur's Gate 3, and I was saying, look, I don't know if I want to jump into early access and deal with an unfinished product.
Yeah, so I don't know. Is Cyberpunk coming out in early access first? Do we know this?
I don't think so, and the game's been delayed so many times that I feel like it's going to be pretty solid when it comes out. But, you know, there could be. You never know with a day one launch, man. Like, yeah. There's all sorts of surprises. But I will say this, dude. Like, we've seen this many times before where a game comes out, day one, bunch of problems, shit's fixed in a week.
Yeah.
Not even a week, days sometimes. Yeah. So I don't think that's a lot to ask, although a lot of gamers would tell you otherwise, to, you know, have a game release and then have to wait a few days before it's playable. This shit's hard to make, man. Any way you look at it, it's not like, you know, they're baking cookies over here.
Pilaf says, they asked Quentin Tarantino to change a bunch of stuff in his movies, and he told him to go fuck yourself. So that sounds like him, and that sounds like them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he can get away with that.
Yeah, for sure.
Not everyone can. Yeah, so I don't know. Are you... obviously, you guys have answered that. You guys have jumped right into Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah, I mean, that was a special case, man. But also, well, DRG did it perfectly. I feel like you as a gamer within DRG, or us as gamers, have grown with the game. Like, you're learning these new mechanics, these new maps, these new everything with the release, content releases, which aren't so far between that you forget about the game. Like, you enjoy every iteration along the way. That's one way to do it. And then there's other ways to do it, where you just release a broken-ass game, and it's dog shit, and it's not worth $15, and why did I fucking spend my money on this? Return this motherfucker right now.
Yeah.
And so there's many ways of doing this, different little steps. You could do it at 1.1, you could do it at 1.9. Where you could do Stomping Lands. That's another option, I guess, if you want to do it that way.
Just disappear after you get
all the money. It's a case by case. That's why there's not an answer for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree. It's case by case, because I had a moment of weakness in, I think, just like actually this last week, where I haven't pre-ordered a game in years. Like, I think the last thing I pre-ordered was Original Sin 2. And the only reason I did that was because I was on the Kickstarter and I got the game for $45. So, like, way under the release price.
Yeah.
But I also bought Cyberpunk. So those Baldur's Gate 3 and Cyberpunk within, like, this past week. And I was like, man, I feel, like, kind of dirty because I don't like supporting pre-orders. But also, like, I trust both those studios completely.
I was about to say, they're both batting 1,000. And in those cases, you can take a leap of faith.
I think it's okay to do that from time to time with games that you really want and with developers that you really support. And it's not a bad investment, man. I mean, you got Baldur's Gate 3. You're going to eventually play this game. Yeah. I'm going to eventually play this game. Yeah. Cyberpunk, everybody's going to eventually play this game.
8 years ago, I would have said Bethesda's a sure bet. Now, things have changed, but it was a slow deterioration and it wasn't like a big shock. But, you know, things happen. But these two, they're still on the good. They're some of the good guys.
Yeah. Warconius has another question here. He says, any excitement for upcoming Ubisoft titles? Watch Dogs, Legion, or Assassin's Creed Valhalla? Of all the major publishers, this podcast almost never talks about Ubisoft. Not a criticism, but an observation. I figure it's because the third-person action game is not big in the DLG, with DLG in general.
I feel like those games are primarily console games. And that's why we kind of stay away from, not that we stay away from, they just don't appeal to us.
Yeah, they're like console games in nature. Like there's something about it. It feels like, it feels very different. Like as a PC gamer, it feels very different than the types of games that I like to play, just in general.
As a very poorly spoken person, I couldn't tell you what was wrong with Assassin's Creed Origins. Mm-hmm. I put 2-3 hours into it. And here we are.
Yeah.
Mindy, you got an answer for this?
Well, I feel like Ubisoft has changed from what they used to be. And they kind of went for like games as a service, it seems. Like the games that I know them growing up was like the Ghost Recon games. Like every one of those was good up until like 2010, I think. And Rayman, like the whole Rayman Legend thing, I think they also did that, and I loved those games. But then, like after that, it seems like there's just like copy paste, like all these Assassin's Creeds, these new pay to win Tom Clancy games. They did make For Honor, or they not made it, but they published it, and I thought that was an amazing game. But also, the Watchdog is kind of like a copy paste format. It's just like GTA but different.
Yeah,
and they just gave away Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah, I believe so.
I think it was the second one. The first one got given away a while ago, but I think they just gave away Watch Dogs 2 not too long ago.
I've never played one.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, it kind of looked cool, but, you know, those big open world games just, they really don't appeal to me that much.
You should try it out, Bobby. I feel like it's you if you, like, turned your powers for good.
Well, am I using my powers for evil right now?
No, just for mediocrity.
For mediocrity. all right, next question from Hollow Point. Do you believe that the amount of games we have access to has lessened the ability to stick with a game and finish it? Back in the day, I would look forward to playing one game. Now it seems to be a mishmash of a dozen or so games, and I don't really gravitate towards one or the other. It's as if the access to all this media has caused a sort of ADD. Interested to hear your thoughts. Love the podcast. Thanks, man.
Thanks for the last little thing. It means a lot.
Yeah, you know what? I bring this book up a lot, and I'm trying to think of the name of it right now, but it talks about this. The Paradox of Choice is the book. The Paradox of Choice. I highly recommend reading that. This guy wrote some other books, and they weren't that good, but Paradox of Choice is really good, and it talks about this paralysis that's caused by when you're overwhelmed with options.
Paralysis through analysis.
Yeah, that sounds catchier. But yeah, and it's just, he kind of breaks down all the different things that lead to this, but it's so true. And I mean, you can tell it's true because we experience it all the time. And yeah, absolutely, this happens with games. I never know what to play. I'm 100%, constantly
100%, like, dude.
Yeah.
To put a, okay, so was it, this from like 5 years ago? The number one thing watched on TV was, I think, The Walking Dead. It did something like 14 million people. Now, go back to The Love Boat when there was 4 channels on TV and it was the only thing, it was the least suckiest thing. 29 million people on a bad night. Mm-hmm. It's just, there was less. You're not going to, there's no way you can, there's so much stuff out there. There's no way you're going to get away. That's why niche stuff is doing so well. Bobby and I'm all over the place here, but Bobby and I were talking about, like, if you're a goth person or if you're a grunge or whatever you're into, you can be into that thing now because everything is niche and the internet brings everybody together. You can find your people no matter what. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is with shows. There's something out there for everybody.
Yeah. And there's a good part to that.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
There's definitely a good part to that.
It's probably better this way, but also it doesn't feel like there's monumental blockbusters like there used to be.
Yeah, and it also feels like a lot of us just aren't on the same page either, you know? Like, it used to be everybody kind of played the same.
And we shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Right? Well,
about some things, maybe we should be, but... Yeah. But, and I mean, with video games, and that's kind of why we all have these, like, these touch points for our past, you know? We all have these sentimental feelings about characters like like Mario or Zelda or, you know, what, like these icons from old video games, because that's just what there was back then.
It was the guy.
Yeah.
Mario, it personifies what you felt about video games because he was video games.
Yeah. But I mean, having a giant library these days, I just, it is a blessing and a curse, man. And that's,
well, you took it to an extreme there, buddy.
Yeah, I know. But like a lot of that stuff is games I wouldn't even consider playing. And it's not even so much owning the games. It's the amount of games that are available. We just had Baldur's Gate 3 and we got Cyberpunk right around the corner. New COD game coming out pretty soon. I mean, we're just constantly being bombarded all the time. You know, I mean, what else has dropped recently? You know, Hades reaching 1.0, Among Us got real big, then it was Fallout before that. Like, it's just ba-boom, ba-boom, like one after the other.
End.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. And we're getting older and our time is it's kind of dwindling away. You know, we don't have as much free time, so it gets more difficult to play this stuff.
Oh, you meant free time. I thought you meant we're going to die soon.
Yeah, it sounded like that. That's why I went back and corrected it. I mean, we are dying right now, dude. We are slowly inching our way towards a cold grave. But
I hope I die on the podcast, dude. It would be great.
Live on the podcast.
That's content right there.
He ate two Parky chips, dude. He's done.
We're going to die when we eat these things.
I think we should eat them, dude.
No.
Like,
no,
we mentioned it. Like, nobody even do it. There wasn't even a...
I've been talking for like 2 hours, man. Like, my mouth is completely dry.
I'll give you another LaCroix. I'll grab one myself and we do it.
No, we'll do it. We're hyping it for next week. We'll post it on the Discord. We'll hit up the socials. Yeah. I can't do it now.
Because I really feel like a chip. That's why.
Yeah, but that absolutely happens, man.
Yeah, it's 100%, dude.
That's kind of been the state of mind I've been in for a little while with games recently.
Every once in a while, and, you know, maybe once a year, maybe once every 2 years, something will sink its teeth into you and not let go, and it reinvigorates you for gaming. And
those are great.
It's a life changer, dude. And yeah, that's what we're all here for, really.
Yeah.
Although, you know, doing a sample platter is not bad either. I mean, I really enjoy playing a bunch of different games.
I think the thing to take away is don't play video games because you think you have to. And that sounds really stupid, like, oh, well, obviously. But, dude, honestly, a lot of people will just be sitting at the computer and they'll be just looking around like, what do I play? What do I play? You know, it's like, do you even want to play? Dude, like, has that ever even crossed your mind? Like, would you rather do something else right now?
I feel like that 40% of the time I beat off. I'm like, really? I'm not even horny. What am I doing here?
All right, next question from MP Loff. Would you rather not have to brush your teeth for the rest of your life or not have to wipe your ass for the rest of your life?
Or not have to? Oh, definitely wipe my ass. For sure.
I feel like that would be more sanitary.
Yeah, and I also feel like it's not a good practice. Dude, Rogan really nailed it. So he's selling this thing. It's one of his ads. It's like a bidet. Mm-hmm. It's like
a retro. Like attach it to a regular toilet?
Yeah, you attach it and then whatever. So he said, if you had, it's so sync, dude. And you know that they didn't write it for him. He's like, if you had shit anywhere on your body other than your asshole, would you dry it with would you clean it with a dry piece of paper?
I wonder if he.
Think about that, though.
I know, but I'm wondering if he stole that or if he just, because that seems like a natural thing to say. But I heard Ken Marino say the exact same thing on the Nerdist podcast, like back in like 2012, because he was like really pushing the bidet. Ken Marino is like a comedian, actor. If you saw a picture of him, you'd immediately recognize him. He was in like Wet Hot American Summer. He was in that spoof of the love reality shows, Burning Love.
Corolla said something very similar too. Yeah. He's like, if you take a shit on the sidewalk, are you going to take a newspaper and just start wiping at it? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that you would just use paper down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
I forgot what we were even talking about.
So, do neither of you guys use like a wet wipe after?
No, I wish I did.
Okay, well, maybe you should invest in that.
Well, what do you do with the wet wipe? You can't flush that.
No, you just throw in the trash. I mean, it's just
now you
mostly
got shit in your trash can, though.
But it's not like you're wiping like a big glob of shit. It's like post wipe.
The paper, just the paper takes care of.
I don't know,
the
man.
Bulk.
You don't know my diet. Don't make that.
I don't. You're right, but I'm just like in
I'm upstairs from a taco shop.
My answer to this question is like I don't know. I like both of those things. Like I enjoy doing both of those things. So I think I just keep them. Even if I didn't have to, I'd probably just do it anyway, just for the feeling.
Okay. Cricket. Okay. I don't mind brushing my teeth, honestly. I think it's kind of like, I don't know. It's like sometimes when I brush my teeth, like I feel good about it. Like, you know, when you're cleaning something and you feel like you're accomplishing something or getting something done, like I don't mind. Like I like going to the dentist too. Like I look forward to that. I'm like
doing
all right,
the dishes.
Gonna get my shit cleaned. Dishes, not a fan of, because we never had a dishwasher growing up. So I had to do dishes when I was younger, and vacuuming. Like I hate vacuuming and dusting. Those are like I'm great at picking stuff up or like, you know, doing other sorts of like,
you're a super clean person,
dude. Yeah. Like household cleaning. Like I don't mind a lot of that, but like there are certain parts of cleaning that I'm just like, ugh, don't want to do that.
Speaking of which, we'll put this under hardware real quick. I bought the
under hardware back when we had under hardware.
God damn it. I don't even remember. Dyson. We have a Dyson stick vac.
Mm-hmm.
It's $400.
Yeah. Those are good vacuums.
Yeah. I don't know if it's worth $400 from what we, I don't know. I'm not like, whoa, this is going to change my life. Like Sam still sweeps. I'm like, why are you sweeping? We spent $400 on this thing. She's like, it doesn't get it all. I was like, yes, it does. And so we have this argument. Like it should be out and out. Like, oh, this is the greatest thing that's happened to our floors.
Yeah, $400, dude. And that's, yeah, definitely.
That's a low one.
But you have hardwood floors, right?
Yeah, hardwood floors and tile. It says it's good for everything.
Yeah, but that's just harder to clean. I don't know. I got a Roomba, but I'll take a straight up like broom and just sweep my place, and then I'll let the Roomba go at it every now and then.
So it's got turbo mode?
Mm-hmm. The Dyson?
Yeah, the Dyson. How long do you think, how much continuous battery time do you think you could do turbo mode?
10 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't look like it has a big battery.
7 minutes, dude.
Wow.
7 minutes of turbo time.
Yeah, dude, for a place this size?
That's what I tell the ladies. You got 30 seconds of turbo time, bro. Let me know when you want it to kick in.
All right. Well, we got one more question here. We're making it through, guys. Hogglefosh says, when is gaming a good use of time? If you could take all or some of the time you've spent playing games over the past several years and focus it towards something else, would you? Started dumping hours into Classic WoW the past couple of weeks and have been considering these questions.
If I took all the gaming time and put into something else, I'd be a doctor, lawyer, judge. And just a general...
I don't know if it's fair to say that, though, because the things you're describing require a lot more work than gaming, I feel like.
Right. Well, we're talking about time, right?
Are we
talking about time?
Yeah, time. But, yeah. You know, effort, I think, should come into consideration as
Bobby
well.
Bobby just said I'm not smart enough for any of those. It's basically what he just said.
Well, I mean, you don't have to be a genius. Not a genius, but...
Can't take the toothpaste out of the tube, man, or put it back in.
Anybody can play a video game. Anybody can play a video game, dude. Not everybody. I'm not cutting.
Anybody can say overruled, dude.
No, dude, you got to go, like, being a doctor or a lawyer, that's requires, I mean, maybe not so much a lawyer, but a doctor requires so much education, dude, and passing tests, and like, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't want to do it. But I don't know, dude. I think like, when is gaming a good use of your time? When you need it, man. Like when you need a break.
Dude, let me talk a little bit about that. So I was having a super hard week. I got it in my head that I can get away with 6 hours sleep. But I'm also working 11 hours a day labor, you know? And so that combination got to Wednesday. And I was just, from Wednesday to Friday, I was just a fucking zombie. And nothing, I mean, I wasn't in a bad mood. I wasn't talking shit or anything. I'm rarely in a bad mood. But I wasn't feeling myself. I was questioning everything. And then I played a little bit of video games. Just a little bit, man. Not much. I think it was, what the fuck did I play? Spelunky, whatever. And after 20 minutes, man, I just felt so much better. I just felt so much better. And I was like, holy shit. Because John talks about this a lot. Because John, JP Diddy, he has his engineering job. And then he has his snake job. And then he always tells his wife that he has to decompress with video games. And although I get it and I didn't think he was making it up, I never had felt it. And now that I'm really pushing myself, it just all made sense. So in that case, something like that, just a little bit of escapism can work wonders. It could be a medicine even.
Yeah. I mean, it's like playing is like a basic need that human beings have, and video games do a very good job of satisfying that.
Other than that, DMV is a great place to play phone games. Mini?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. Like, there's a, I think we, as a people, play too much, but there is definitely a need for some of it. Like, I know, like, just today I was thinking, like, man, what game am I going to play? And Bobby, you said it as well. Like, if you're thinking about what to play, like, should you even be playing? Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, we do spend too much time. So if I could take all my hours and place it into something else, and I'd definitely like learn an instrument. Maybe not all of my hours. If there was like excess hours that I could calculate, put that into an instrument.
Yeah. Okay. Skin flute.
Yeah. I mastered that.
$20 at a time. That's the only thing you could practice and get paid.
All right, what are we playing? What are we watching next week?
I'm going to try out Torchlight 3. Going to give it another go.
Torchlight 3, okay.
Yeah, hopefully that tickles my pickle.
I'm going to continue trying to break Baldur's Gate.
All right.
I feel like that's a cheap way of saying, like, I can't beat this game. I'm not good enough. I'm just
Can you even beat the game at this point, though?
I don't know.
Probably not. I think they only have like Act 1 like they did with the other Divinities.
Oh, okay. Well, I should finish up the Halloween movies this week. I still got to watch that Parking Lot movie. Didn't forget about that. The Platform as well. Haven't forgot about that. Going to keep it all horror related mostly this week. And as far as video games go, Pathologic 2. And then I'll dig around the Xbox Game Pass, see what pops up. Although I did come across, I've been looking for a good Nightmare on Elm Street game. Been thinking of the original Nintendo one. But there was a DOS one that came out, I think, in 89. And I'm having trouble getting it running, but might be messing with that.
I'm so glad that you are, dude. I was just realizing, dude, that at a certain age, you don't have to worry about wiping your ass or brushing your teeth. Somebody takes care of that for you. It's fantastic. One before the other. I don't know which one you give up first.
Yeah. Well.
All right. So, speaking for Bobby, Minnie, and myself, denture titties, everybody. You got to pop them in. Did you have a good time, Minnie? You didn't talk much.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just weird coming back into it, man.
Yeah. Yeah, the remote is always weird.
We gotta give you like a visual cue, like I want to speak now, so that like a little light comes on or something.